Well, if you've been with us over the last many months at Country Hills, you will know that we are working our way through the story, which is an overview of the Bible. And we have been going through for months and months. And last week, we hit the New Testament. And I don't know if you're anything like me as we come to read, but I hit the New Testament and kind of went, oh, I know these stories much better. Now, I'm pretty familiar with the Old Testament, but there's still times when I go, how do you say that king's name? And is he one of the good kings, or is he one of the bad kings? And where are we in our time frame of history? And then when Pastor Jeremy pulls out some kind of scripture passage about a prophet's underwear, you go, has that always been in my Bible? But then we hit the New Testament, and I don't know, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I wonder if you were anything like me and you were tempted to skim. And you were tempted to go, oh yeah, I know that parable. Oh yeah, 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 I'm done today's chapter. We get familiar with things, and they start to lose their depth with us. But I was stopped this week by the title for this chapter. The title for this chapter this week is No Ordinary Man. Jesus is no ordinary man. But what a dichotomy is that? That we become so familiar with Scripture that we're tempted to skim, and yet Jesus is no ordinary man. Now think about the last renovation that you completed in your home, whether you did all the hard work yourself or you watched someone else do all the hard work. But you put planning into it. It was worked on for probably longer than you had hoped for it to be worked on. But when it was done, you stopped and admired it. You'd come to that room and you'd stop. You'd look at it. It caught your attention because it was so new. But then, months later, you walk through that room without even thinking about it. It doesn't mean that you don't like it anymore, but you've become familiar with it. Maybe the same is true right here in this auditorium. The first couple weeks, you come in, wow, that looks so different. And now you don't even think about it. It's normal. Students, when you start at a new school and you are walking through the halls and you are hoping you are going to find your way to the right class, you are concentrating on every room number. Now, you don't think about it. You just go about your business. How about with driving? If you've never been there before, you might be planning your trip, putting your address into the GPS, looking for landmarks so you know you can reverse your route and get home. But when we become familiar, we hardly think about it. And I will not ask you to raise your hand and admit how many times you've arrived at a destination and went, whoa, how did I get here? I don't hardly remember driving here. Now, for some reason, things that are new, we really focus on. But then when things become a little bit more familiar, it moves into that ordinary category in our minds. Now, if it's a room that you've decorated, I'm not sure that it really matters. But if it's Jesus, it does matter. It can have far-reaching effects. Because Jesus can become more like a historical figure in our minds when we just become familiar. Church can become just this ritual thing that we do instead of looking with anticipation for what God will do as we gather together. The Bible can just become pages of history instead of God's living and active word for us. Recently, I was challenged to look at my own life through very different eyes. And I met a young mom who is here from the Philippines, and she has come here to be a nanny so that she can send money back to her husband and her son in the Philippines. And she's new here, and she just has open eyes looking at the bounty of Canada and looking at the bounty of the lives around her. And I was challenged by that. to realize just how much I have, and yet how many times I say, well, if only I had a new one of those, or if only I had a larger one of those. And she's thinking, if only I had one of those at all. Somehow, things become so familiar in our lives that they become ordinary. And so this morning, I want to encourage us to kind of take a step back, to look a little bit at the larger picture, to have a fresh view of what we've maybe become familiar with, so that with our hearts as well as our minds, we might come and say, this Jesus is no ordinary man. So we're going to take a look through the eyes of the first Christians, and hopefully that will help us to see afresh for today what we have. And so we're going to begin with a video, and hopefully that will start to get us into this process of seeing Jesus for who he is.
Thank you. to show you what love sees when I see
Jesus brought an extraordinary man. And for many months now, we have had the privilege of taking a step back to that larger picture of Scripture and seeing that overarching picture, how generation after generation, God the Father was drawing his people back to him, sometimes through very difficult circumstances, but he never forgot his people. And it was always out of his great love for them. And that remnant who was holding on to hope, that remnant that continued to look to God, are now no longer waiting. The Savior of the world has arrived. Whether the people who met Jesus realized it or not, they knew one thing, that this was no ordinary man. This man, this leader, he took time for children. He cared for the weak, the sick, and the poor. He didn't lord his authority over others. He confronted the religious leaders of the day. He could perform miracles. He could heal. He cared about individuals, not just the crowd. And he taught about and revealed God in a way that no one had ever done before. And he held truth up at all costs. This Jesus was no ordinary man. And so, what was he? Who was he? And that was the question that was up for debate. Because from the most religious Pharisee who had issues with everything that Jesus did, to the individual who gave up everything to follow Jesus, each of them would agree that he was not ordinary. So this morning, we're going to look at one scripture passage that truly reveals that Jesus was not ordinary. In fact, it was an event that shocked those who were present. They could hardly comprehend it. But for you and I, it's become a very familiar passage. If I had pulled the children up here before they left, I think most of them would have raised their hand and said, "I know that story." There would be a large number of you here today who would say, "I can picture the flannel graph that depicted that story." I would guess that almost everyone here, if I told you the title of this passage and brought a mic out to you, you could walk us through the main parts of this story. But I suspect that because of that, it's become ordinary to us. And we miss the grandeur of who Jesus is and how he reveals himself. And I think this happens to us in many passages of Scripture. So today, let's take a look at one, but asking the Lord to open our eyes fresh and anew to his word. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you have given us your word in the Bible. And we come to the realization that we are in a country of bounty, and most of us probably have various different translations and versions of the Bible at home. And yet, it becomes ordinary. And so this morning, Lord, my prayer for each of us is that you would open our eyes to see you, to see your word as it's truly meant to be. God, by your Spirit, would you open our hearts and minds to see you, Jesus, in a fresh and new way. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen. Well, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." And suddenly, the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the wind and waves obey him." If you've ever been out in a boat in large waves, it's an experience that makes an impression on you. And if someone tries to belittle your experience, you don't want anything to do with that, because you can feel like your life was in jeopardy, and perhaps it really was. But let's remember that this experience happened with some fishermen on the boat, not holiday boaters like you and I. So if fishermen, people who make their living on boats, are terrified in a storm, we know this is more than just a few waves on the water. And yet, in three words, all of this changes. Not gradually, but instantly. Here we are, centuries later, and we're still working on predicting the weather. Well, I think the weather forecasters did an okay job this winter of telling us just how much snow and ice and storms would be coming our way. But nowhere in all of those predictions did I hear someone say, "But don't worry, because I know the three words that are going to calm this storm." Seriously, enough already, that one didn't work. I heard that one a lot of times, but that one just didn't work. "Please, please stop," wasn't one of them. We can maybe sometimes predict the weather, but we can't calm the storm. Our winter would have looked slightly different if we could. But here Jesus speaks the words, and the wind stops immediately. But verse 41 tells us that the disciples were terrified. Now, this is not a verse that comes back while the storm's going. This is a verse that tells us they were terrified after it was calmed. They said, "Who is this man? Even the wind and waves obey him." Now, you might think that the passage would read, "The disciples rejoiced greatly, for the wind and the waves obeyed him." But it says they were terrified. So put yourself in the wet sandals of the disciples for a moment. Men who have grown up hearing the stories of God at work, learning in the temple, they are familiar with the power of God. And I wonder if this was one of those moments where time kind of seemed to stand still for a moment, and all of the things that they've heard in the past started to open their eyes. Could it be that a couple scripture passages like this came flooding to their minds? Did they recall this one? As God says to Job, "Who kept the seas inside its boundaries as it burst from the womb? And as I clothed it with clouds and wrapped it in thick darkness, for I locked it behind barred gates, limiting its shores. I said, 'This far and no farther will you come. Here your proud waves must stop.'" Or did they think of this Psalm of David and God's power in this manner, from Psalm 65, that says, "You are the hope of everyone on earth, even those who sail on distant seas. You formed the mountains by your power and armed yourself with mighty strength. You quieted the raging oceans with their pounding waves and silenced the shouting of the nations." I wonder if the disciples had ever sung the words of Psalm 89 that say, O Lord God of heaven's armies, where is there anyone as mighty as you, O Lord? You are entirely faithful. You rule the oceans. You subdue their storm-tossed waves. Were any or all of these passages just coming to the minds of the disciples as they realized that now Jesus had this power to calm the sea? Do you remember how a few weeks ago we looked at how God revealed himself to Elijah? Have you ever wondered why God was not in the strong winds enough to break mountains? That his presence was not in the earthquake and it was not in the fire? Instead, that he came like a gentle blowing? I wonder if it's because Elijah and God's people already connected the powerful acts with who God was. And so he wanted to reveal himself in a different way. But if we take this power that God's people already attribute to God, and we bring that to today's passage, the Jewish people already look at God as one who controls nature. And now these men see it in Jesus. And in that instant, when Jesus calms the storm, with all of these verses flooding their minds, they're terrified as they consider who this Jesus really is. Now remember, this is happening quite early in Jesus' earthly ministry. Yes, he has chosen the disciples. Yes, he's begun teaching. He's done a few miracles. But the disciples are continuing to be surprised by who Jesus really is. Come with me to one more Old Testament passage. Because when you and I read these words, we look at them and we say, oh, this is about Jesus. It says, he calmed the storm to a whisper and stilled the waves. What a blessing was that stillness as he brought them safely into harbor. Yes, there could be a prophetic element to this psalm, but we have to remember that it was written centuries before Jesus was on the earth. And when it was originally written, it was written to show the power of God the Father as he brought the Israelites back from exile. And if you look at this psalm as a whole, there's four different pictures, the storm being one of them, of God's power and God caring for the people. Is it possible that in that moment that Jesus calmed the sea with just three words, that this passage came to their mind? That again, these men were pushed to wrap their mind around the fact that Jesus was acting with the power of God. Could Jesus be the one to bring them into relationship with God in a new way when they looked at this power? They were terrified because of all the implications that this was no ordinary man. But what about you and I? Do we come to this passage and are overwhelmed with the power of Jesus? Or do we say, that's a nice little story to tell children in Sunday school? There's a big difference. Have we taken the parables, have we taken the Gospels, and kind of labeled them really unintentionally, but kind of putting them into a box labeled ordinary stories about Jesus? And we've taken them, and they've therefore lost their power. Because if we see Jesus truly as he is, this Jesus that we love, that we come together to worship, that we serve, if we see him as no ordinary man, it should deepen our praise. It should affect every day of our lives, not just Sunday. And then because of what we have, we should want to share him with others. And we should be wanting to know him more and more. It should propel us. But does it? It maybe does in certain moments, but do we then put it back into that ordinary box? As we look at the reaction of the disciples in their day, and if we look and are challenged to look at our own thoughts and views today, Let's look at one other group of people. What do the people outside the doors of this church, what do they say about Jesus? Would they say Jesus is no ordinary man? Well, you're probably tempted pretty quick to say, no. They would not say that, or every seat in here plus would be filled this morning. But here's the conclusion that I've come to as I've pondered this for the last while. I think the world does, to a certain extent, recognize that Jesus is not ordinary. But they don't know what to do with that information. And here's why I've come to that conclusion. Have you ever heard comments from someone who doesn't know Jesus to say, why would that Christian choose to offer forgiveness? It was clearly the other person's fault. Why would they even offer it? Or how can a funeral service have any hope or joy in it? I don't get that. That's not normal. And centuries later, why is Jesus even talked about? It's so old. That doesn't seem ordinary to me. They witness people serving, giving money, blessing others, asking nothing in return. Or perhaps you've had a friend who's watched you walk through a trial and has said, I don't understand how you've had peace and hope through this time. And they walk away going, does Jesus make a difference in that? At some level, I think they do recognize that Jesus is no ordinary man. But they don't take the time to ask that next question, so who is this man? For 2 years, I had the privilege of leading a group of ladies through a Bible study in the book of John with a group that were all non-Christian. And week after week, I just sometimes wondered, why are they coming? They don't believe this. Why are they coming? Because you see, they were from that group of people that I just described. They didn't really get why people would come to church every week, get up early, do some of the things that they would do. But what was different about this group was that they chose to ask questions. For me, it was probably one of the times that I was most excited in my faith as I watched them go into Scripture and say, that's Jesus? How come nobody ever told me that about Jesus? Now, we're talking about ladies in their 40s and 50s, lived in Canada their whole life, and they're saying, are you kidding me? I never knew Jesus raised someone from the dead. Are you kidding me? That's always been there. Why didn't I know this? And they came to the conclusion, many of them, that Jesus was no ordinary man. They asked question after question until they understood that Jesus was truly the Son of God, that he came to forgive their sins and to bring them everlasting life. When you see your non-Christian friends, when they see you through your actions and words, they might shake their heads and wonder why you do what you do. They probably can't fully comprehend your motivations, but I want to encourage you in one aspect. In your effort to not offend them, in your effort to make Jesus acceptable in their sight, don't make him ordinary. Don't make him ordinary so as not to offend. Because as soon as we make Jesus ordinary, we strip away who he is. We strip away his uniqueness. We strip away his power. We strip away his godness, if I can make a word. He's not ordinary. And so if there's that temptation, I don't want people to think I'm weird, so I'm just going to... God, Son, Jesus is not ordinary. So my encouragement to you is to come to these New Testament passages that we've studied just starting last week and this week, to come with fresh eyes. Maybe to come back again if you found yourself skimming the last couple of weeks and to say, Lord, I want you to open my eyes fresh and anew to who you are. Open my eyes to what you want me to see in these stories today, because you remain the same. You are not just an ordinary man. You are God with power to work in my life today and in the lives of my friends. Jesus finished many of his parables by saying, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And it was a call to understand the depth and the truth behind his words. Don't get offended and miss my point, Jesus says, but truly hear. Hear and walk away changed. Let me affect your heart and your life. And it's interesting that the same phrase is used over and over again in Revelation. We hear again that call. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Hear the truth of what is being spoken. And so Jesus says to the world, but also to the church, to his bride, he says, hear my heart. Understand the truth of who I am and be changed. Now, by now, you're probably tired of hearing me say that Jesus was no ordinary man and that he can change our lives today and he can impact our hearts eternally. But I would guess that the majority of us wouldn't be here if at some point we didn't say we believe that. Maybe today you say, well, yeah, I do believe that. But have we lost some of it? Have we put it into that ordinary box and passed over some of God's word for us? I'm going to ask the worship team to come because we want to take time to celebrate Jesus again before we go this morning. But if this is new to you and you'd say, yeah, you know what? I would be in that category of saying, what is it about this Jesus? I don't get it. I want to encourage you to ask the next question. Whether it's to come and to ask myself or Pastor Jeremy or someone that you know here, ask the next question or come back next week or find someone, read a book. But don't just sit and say, well, I don't get it all, so I'm done. Ask that next question. Now let's celebrate Jesus together.